This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Joy Powers. Although the general election is still months away, we're less than a week away from the spring primary election. Among other things, this election will decide which Wisconsin Supreme Court candidates will advance to the spring election this coming April. As part of our Wisconsin 2020 series, we've been asking you, our listeners, to tell us what you want to know about voting in Wisconsin. People have been particularly interested in so-called voter suppression tactics in the state, which is where we start our conversation with reporter Patrick Marley. He covers politics in the Wisconsin State House for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and he joins me now. Patrick, thank you so much for being here on Lake Effect.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
We got a lot of questions that kind of skirt around this same question, and I'd like to start here. People are very concerned about voter suppression, but there's some confusion about what that suppression really is. So break it down for us. When we're talking about suppression efforts, what are some of the things that we're bringing up here?
Well, I think the main thing to keep in mind is that what qualifies as voter suppression is in the eye of the beholder in most cases. You know, there's been a lot of debate in Wisconsin over its voter ID law, which has been in place since what was passed in 2011. It was held up in court for quite a while. But I think that critics of that law would contend it is a form of voter suppression because it requires extra responsibilities to get to the polls. This fight over the voter list, which has resulted in potentially some people coming off the rolls, there's a lawsuit over that. Opponents would cast that as voter suppression. But supporters of these things would say this is about election integrity. It's about making sure that the voting rolls are clean. And so, you know, it really devolves into a political debate pretty quickly.
So you mentioned some of the things like voter ID, which was passed. Some people say signing the poll book, that's a form of voter suppression. But the thing that has been brought up a lot this election, perhaps for obvious reasons, is the voter roll purge. So break that down for us. Where are we on that?
Sure. So in October, the Wisconsin Elections Commission sent letters to about 230,000 people who it believed had moved. It works with this group called ERIC, which a majority of states work with, that does things like when people notify the post office that they're moving, it gathers that data. When people register a vehicle at a new location, it grabs that data. And then it compiles it into saying that it appears these people have moved because of interactions they've had with government agencies. So the state sent these letters to people saying, we believe you may have moved. Please contact us to either confirm your address is currently accurate or that you have moved and update your registration with your new address. The Elections Commission's plan was to give people more than a year to respond to them, and then it was going to take people off the rolls if they hadn't either voted, confirmed their address, or updated their registration. So that would be in 2021 after the big presidential election. But there was a lawsuit by the conservative Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty that said people needed to come off the rolls much quicker than that. They argued that state law required people to come off the rolls 30 days after the letters were sent. And that's been in the courts since. There was an initial ruling that would have required people to come off the voter rolls, but that was stayed by an appeals court and is now before an appeals court. So for the moment, no one has been pushed off the rolls.
When is that going to appear before the court again?
So it's right now the appeals court is continuing to take briefs on it and will rule presumably sometime this spring. And then whatever decision it comes up with could be appealed to the state Supreme Court.
So at this point, no one has been removed from the list based on this mover list.
That's correct.
There's still a lot of concern from people that they're going to be removed or they may have been removed. And I know this is something, as you mentioned, a lot of states work with ERIC. This isn't something that's unique to Wisconsin. And I believe there is a way to check if your voter registration has been removed. Is that accurate?
That's correct. So one thing I'd say about the ERIC, many states work with them. But no other state takes people off the rolls as fast as would happen if this lawsuit succeeded. So most states give people four years before they take them off for having moved if they don't update their registrations.
So this would be atypical.
This would be atypical if this lawsuit were successful in terms of how fast people came off the rolls. But again, No one's come off the rolls at this time. That's all going to depend on this litigation. But to your main question, yes, people can check whether they're on this list. They can check what their current registration status is, and they can update their registration. So there's a website called myvote.wi.gov. It's a website run by the Wisconsin Elections Commission. You have to put in your name and your date of birth, and then it will tell you if you're registered and what address you're registered at. It will also include additional information if you were on the list of people who were sent letters in October. And from that website, one, you can see if you're currently registered at the correct address, and there's no question about whether you've moved, then you're in good shape. If you have moved, you can use that site in most cases to update your voter registration and put in the correct address. And if you are tagged as questioning whether you've moved and you haven't, you can rectify that on that website as well.
Now, you mentioned a bit of why people believe this voter roll purge should happen, why they believe it shouldn't happen. And we have gotten some pushback from listeners who've asked, you know, shouldn't the voter rolls be made as accurate as possible to guarantee that every election is a valid election? And some people are just confused about the basic opposition to removing these names from the voter rolls. Can you unpack that?
Sure thing. So the main thing to remember is that if someone moves, they absolutely need to update their voter registrations. You need to be registered at the correct address because you need to go to the right polling place and you need to get the right ballot. If you're registered at the wrong address, you know, you could show up at the wrong polling place, or you could go to the right polling place but get a ballot that's got race for state legislator or county supervisor for a district other than your own. And so that's why they send these letters, because they want to make sure their voting rolls are as accurate as possible. And that's why the supporters say it should, that people should come off the rolls if they haven't corrected their addresses. The other side of it is that this data is pretty good, but it's going to have some problems, as with any large data set. So, you know, sometimes people decide that they're going to register their vehicle at a business address. And they do that. They haven't actually moved. Their voting status should stay the same, but this data would pick up that the car was registered at a new location and flag them as having moved. And so a past mailing from 2017, after the fact, election officials in Wisconsin determined about 7% of the people on the list should not have been on there, or the 7% had not actually moved. And so opponents of purging people from the list say, nobody should be taken off the rolls because of a bad data match, particularly someone who wouldn't suspect that they might be on this list because they hadn't moved, and they wouldn't think of something like a vehicle registration as having affected their registration status.
Well, and it seems like in the last time that they purged a lot of names from the voter rolls, certain areas were impacted disproportionately to the rest of the state.
Well, I mean, certainly there was a bit of an outcry from clerks over confusion from the 2017 mailing and concern about some people getting flagged who shouldn't have been. And because of the way the 2017 mailing was handled, the Elections Commission took a new approach this time, giving people more time to respond. Of course, that, you know, has been drawn into question because of this lawsuit. You know, these mailings are going to affect populations that tend to move more often. So we did an analysis of this most recent mailing and found that a majority of them went to college campuses and large cities, which have populations that tend to move around more. They're younger. But also those are places that tend to vote Democratic. So we see that the mailings have landed in the communities where Democrats are more predominant than Republicans.
So taking kind of a left turn, this is a conversation largely just about different voting questions. And we got a question from a listener who said, you know, when I changed my address with the DMV, I didn't get a new license. This is likely somebody who might end up on something like a mover list. Should they bring a utility bill to the polling site to prove their residency? How do they prove their residency once they get to their polling place?
So it would depend. If you're registered at the correct address, you don't need to prove your residency at the polls. You do need to show all voters need to show an ID. The ID does not have to have your current address on it. So if you moved 6 months ago and you updated your registration, but you never changed your license to get the address change, that still qualifies as ID for the purposes of voting ID. Now, if you have not updated your registration and you decide to update your registration at the polls, which you can do in Wisconsin, you do in that case need to prove residency. And so that's an important distinction everybody needs to remember. Your voting ID for voting purposes doesn't need to have the current address. But if you register at the polls or whenever you register, you're going to have to prove that you live where you say you live. And what you can use there is if you've updated your driver's license, you can use your driver's license. You could also use a lease, mortgage document, bill from a utility. If you go to this State Elections Commission's website, you'll see there's a laundry list of many documents that can be used to prove residency, like the ones I just described.
So if you're someone who needs to absentee vote for whatever reason, how do you go about doing that?
Well, one thing to remember in Wisconsin, you don't need to have a reason to absentee vote. I mean, if you just choose to, you can absentee vote. We have no excuse absentee voting, unlike some states which require you to be, you know, show that you're going to be out of town or have an illness or something like that. All you need to do is contact your clerk. There's two types of absentee voting. One we just sort of refer to usually as early voting. That's where you go to the clerk's office, you fill out the ballot, you do everything all in person. And in some communities like Madison and Milwaukee, they have remote voting locations. So maybe at a library or another public place, they'll have a spot that may be closer than City Hall. But you'd need to go to your local clerk's website to find out, you know, what the hours are for early voting. You can call them and find out where the locations are. The other type of absentee voting, the more traditional type, is to do it by mail. That's where, again, you contact your local clerk and you tell them that you'd like an absentee ballot. They will send it to you. You fill it out, and then there's some additional rules beyond what you have when you go to the voting booth, such as you have to have a witness sign that you're the one who cast the ballot. You'll have to include a photocopy of your voter ID, and you need to mail it back to your clerk. You want to make sure when you send in your absentee ballot that you send it in with enough time so that it can get there by election day.
So the next election that we're approaching is the primary, and there are some high school students who are 17 who will be 18 by the time they are the general election. Are they able to vote in the primary?
You have to be 18 years of age to vote in any election. So the example you cited, that person could vote in the general election because they'd be 18 by then, but they would not be able to vote in the primary leading into that because they wouldn't have turned 18 yet. That's different in some states. Some states let you vote younger if you'll be 18 by the time of the general election. Not the case in Wisconsin.
So they'll have to wait until November.
Correct.
We got this listener question, and this wasn't actually something I knew that much about. I'm someone who takes selfies, I guess, with my voter sticker, but there are a lot of people who have been wanting to take photos with their ballot, and for a long time that's been illegal in Wisconsin. What's changing? Is anything changing?
Something could change. So there's been a long-standing requirement in Wisconsin you can't take a photo of a ballot, and the rationale for that is that it was meant to prevent someone from saying something like, hey, I'll give you $5 if you vote for this candidate, but you got to prove that you voted for that candidate. The idea was that you could prevent people from coming up with schemes to buy votes, essentially. And, you know, before cell phones, people weren't routinely carrying cameras with them into voting booths, and I think it just wasn't an issue. With the advent of Instagram and Twitter and Facebook, people are increasingly showing up in the voting booth, taking a photo just because they're proud of who they voted for and they want to show their friends and family and supporters who they voted for. And so there's been this national conversation. A lot of states have laws like Wisconsin. Some of those laws have been challenged in court. Some of those laws have been changing. There's an effort to change the law in Wisconsin. In fact, such legislation recently passed the state Senate and could come before the state assembly, but the legislative session is winding up very quickly, and it's unclear if the assembly is going to pass it.
So you may be able to take a selfie, but it's unclear as of right now or not.
That's right. There's an election in February, and you can't do it for that one. And, you know, only if it gets through the assembly and gets signed into law by the governor would you be able to. At the moment, it's illegal.
So for right now, just settle on the I voted sticker selfie.
That would be the safer way to go. I don't know that this law gets prosecuted very much, but, you know, it is illegal. And if you were to do it, somebody might at minimum say something to you about it.
Yeah. Well, Patrick Marley, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect and sharing your work.
Yeah, thank you.
Patrick Marley is a reporter covering politics and the Wisconsin State House for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We spoke with him as part of our Wisconsin 2020 series, which answers your questions about the election. Now we're asking you, what do you want to know about the candidates running in this upcoming election? What are some of the issues appearing on your ballot, and what do you want to know about them? You can submit your questions at our website, wuwm.com.